Welcome. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is your Calls One Planet series. Later in the show, we'll discuss Trump's war on wind and the future of offshore and onshore wind energy and renewable energy. First, we're going to remember Jane Goodall, the renowned conservationist, animal welfare advocate, and primatologist who passed away last Wednesday at the age of 91. In a tribute, the Jane Institute shared that she was known around the world for her 65-year study of wild chimpanzees in Tanzania. In the latter part of her life, she expanded her focus and became a global advocate for human rights, animal rights, saving species, environmental protection, and many other crucial issues. Jane Goodall was passionate about wildlife from an early age. She was an avid reader about the natural world. Her dream was to travel to Africa, learn more about animals, and write books about them. She founded the Jane Goodall Institute in 1977, which has worked to protect great apes and their habitats in Africa and beyond. Her Roots and Shoots program, launched in 1991, has inspired millions of young people around the world to take action for people, animals, and the planet. Throughout her life and remarkable career, Dr. Jane Goodall inspired generations of scientists, brought hope to countless people from all walks of life, and urged all of us to remember that every single one of us makes a difference every day. It is up to us to be the kind, to be kind, and to make a difference. Here is Jane Goodall answering a question about her legacy earlier this year in the Netflix documentary, Famous Last Words.
This is a moment right now, as people are watching this, where maybe the biggest story in the world is that you've passed away. I think it'll be a global story. I think there'll be global mourning. And I think a lot of people will be talking about who you were. So who would you say you were?
I would say I was somebody sent to this world to try to give people hope in dark times, because without hope, we fall into apathy and do nothing. And in the dark times that we are living in now, if people don't have hope, we're doomed. And how can we bring little children into this dark world we've created and let them be surrounded by people who've given up? Mm. So even if this is the end of humanity as we know it, let's fight to the very end. Let's let the children know, you know, that there is hope if they get together. And even if it becomes impossible for anybody, it's better to go on fighting to the end than just to give up and say, okay.
That is Dr. Jane Goodall answering a question about her legacy earlier this year in the Netflix documentary, Famous Last Words. Joining us to talk more about Dr. Jane Goodall and her legacy is Dr. Gladys Kalema Zikusoku, Uganda's first wildlife veterinarian and founder and executive director of Conservation Through Public Health, a nonprofit that promotes biodiversity conservation by enabling people, gorillas, and other wildlife to coexist through improving their health and livelihoods in and around Africa's protected areas and wildlife-rich habitats. As Uganda's first wildlife veterinarian, Dr. Gladys Kalema Zikusoku has devoted her life to protecting endangered mountain gorillas and other wildlife. She's been working with mountain gorillas for 30 years. She's written about her remarkable journey in her new book, Walking with Gorillas, The Journey of an African Wildlife Vet. And the foreword of her new book is written by the late Dr. Jane Goodall. Dr. Gladys, thank you so much for joining us and our deepest condolences on this immense loss.
Thank you so much for inviting me. Yes, it's a great shock that Dr. Jane Goodall has passed on, but she's left an incredible legacy.
Well, you wrote a beautiful tribute about Dr. Goodall. You write that you received the news just before you gave a talk at the University of North Carolina, and you held a moment of silence for her. You also write that you first met Dr. Goodall in 1993 when you attended her talk in London. At that time, you were a veterinarian student at the Royal Vet College, University of London. Can you talk about that, what that was like for you?
Well, it was amazing because at the Royal, I had not actually heard of Dr. Jane Goodall. because I set up a wildlife club in high school and I felt I wanted to become a wildlife vet when there was very little wildlife in the national park. So when we were at the Royal Vet College, University of London, they put up signposts saying that there's somebody speaking in London about chimpanzees in Tanzania. And I got very excited. So I convinced my elder sister to accompany me. She was doing an MBA at London Business School. And we went over, and her talk was so, it really touched my heart. The way that she knew all the different chimps personally, and she gave them, she was following their family trees. They had been her friends for many years. It was just incredible. So at the end, I stood in line to buy her book. And when she saw me and my sister, she smiled because we're the only Africans in the room. She was so excited to see us and said, "I want to invite you to Gombe." She was together with Dr. Anthony Collins, her right-hand man, and a few other people from JGI. And it's just been a journey since that time, getting to know Dr. Jane Goodall. She's mentored me, and it's just been great knowing somebody who's done so much for animals and people as well.
Right, and cared so much about animals, people, and the planet, just as you do. I mean, you tell so many stories in your talks about, like Jane, you loved animals also as a young child.
Yes, I did. I grew up with many pets at home, many cats and dogs. And whenever they got sick, I just had to go with my mom to the vet. I wouldn't go to school. And so my mom was also really excited when I got to meet Dr. Jane Goodall and always used to ask me about her.
Can you talk about the effect Jane Goodall and the influence she had on so many young people like yourself? I mean, it's incredible to think that after COVID, Jane Goodall started traveling the world again. In fact, she was traveling up until she passed away at the age of 91. And she talked about what a gift it was to meet so many young people around the world. And her main message was to not give up, to continue to have hope and do the work that you love on a daily basis. Can you talk more about that?
Yes, I would say that one of Dr. Jane Goodall's greatest legacies was showing women, young women, girls, and young women that you can actually do things that everyone thinks you can't do. You can go into the forest, live with wild animals if that's what you want to do, and make a real impact. It's not just a field for men, but it's also a field that women can do. And you can also initiate projects. I mean, her study is one of the longest standing studies field sites in the world. So she's a pioneer. She's not only a woman who did something that men can do, but she was a pioneer in her field. She started naming the chimpanzees when people were only giving them numbers. So just she gave a lot of inspiration to somebody like me and many, many other women and girls around the world, especially conservationists and primatologists, that you can actually, be a leader in conservation as a woman and make a huge difference. So I think that's one of the very big contributions she made. But also then she went ahead and she wasn't only helping chimpanzees, but she started to help all species on the planet. And she never stopped traveling. She was always traveling. She turned from a conservationist, a researcher, to a conservationist, to an activist. And in that way, she touched so many lives. I remember during the COVID pandemic, she was having interviews from her home in England. And she, luckily, during that time, people realized you could actually have virtual calls. And she did a lot then. But as soon as the pandemic ended, she started moving again. And I remember meeting her at the Wildlife Conservation Network Expo when they're celebrating 20 years. And that's why I'm here in San Francisco this weekend. And I said to her, "Jane, I've almost finished the books. Thank you so much for writing the foreword." She's like, "Congratulations. It's a big milestone." And this is somebody who's written so many books, at least over 10 books. And I've read almost all of them. And so she was just someone who always reached out to people individually and made them feel special. She had that special gift. And then she decided to now really focus on the next generation. She's extremely passionate, being with young children, young girls, young boys, just really roots and shoots became a huge passion of hers. Because I think she realized if we're going to do something long term and have long term impact, we need to engage the next generation to start to care about the environment. And what they had to do was come up with a project that helps people, animals, and the environment, which actually now you call that One Health. And so Jane Goodall was a pioneer in so many ways, but her ability to inspire people of all ages is something that we need to keep carrying on. The torch that she lit is going on forever and ever.
I love what you say about Jane Goodall really inspiring so many girls and women, because a lot of these fields have been male dominated. Some of them still are. What was it like for you to become Uganda's first wildlife veterinarian?
Well, it was quite a daunting but really exciting job. When I spent a month with the mountain gorillas at Bwindi, in Bwindi Forest, for 1 month when I was a vet student, and I realized that their habitat was really being cut. There were only about 300 mountain gorillas left in Bwindi, just 43% of the world's population. It was around 650 in total in the world. And I was concerned that people would make them sick, especially the tourists who had come to visit. And they were always beginning to go into community land, and eventually they picked up diseases from people. And that's why we started conservation through public health a few years later. At that point, it was, I guess I felt like I needed to become a wildlife vet, a full-time wildlife vet. So I wrote to the head of the Uganda National Parks, Dr. Droma, and I said, this is what a wildlife vet does. You need to hire a vet like me. And he hired me. 2 months later, I was told that I have a job. So when I graduated, that was my first job. But the people had never had vets treating wild animals, and there was a lot of resistance, because in those days it was about natural selection, survival for the fittest. So there's a lot of education I had to do to get people to understand why we need to intervene, if it's human related or life threatening. But one of the first cases that made them realize why this role was important is we had a disease outbreak in the mountain gorillas. All of them developed scabies, and the baby gorilla died, and the rest only recovered when we treated them with ivermectin. Oh. And then they were like, oh, wow, we need a vet. Because if we had lost the whole gorilla group, that would be over $1 million a year at the time. Wow. Now it's much more. And so people then began to realize, actually, vets are very important. They can really help the wildlife. And so there was a lot of that. But because I had a special skill, even if I was younger than everybody else, everybody took me seriously, at least on the surface. I know that behind my back, there would probably, you know, they were whispering and saying, you know, this young woman, you know, why is she telling us, you know, why is she making us do things differently? But on the surface, they were very encouraging, and that really helped. So it was quite a daunting experience being the first wildlife vet in Uganda, and also being a woman at that, because all my colleagues were men. There were no female rangers. The only women were the ones at headquarters. But I'm pleased to say that now, you know, 25 years later, 25% of the rangers are female.
Yes, it is great. And I have seen so many stories about female rangers in Africa. I mean, they're on the cover of magazines now doing such important work.
Yes, it's really very, it's incredible. And somebody like Dr. Jane Goodall made women feel that they can do something like that. Mm. And someone like me in my country, a lot of young women felt, now we can also do wildlife work.
Well, today we are remembering Dr. Jane Goodall with Dr. Gladys Kalema Zikusoku, who has devoted her life to protecting endangered mountain gorillas and other wildlife. She's been working with mountain gorillas for 30 years and has written about her remarkable journey in her book, Walking with Gorillas, The Journey of an African Wildlife Vet. And she wrote a tribute to Dr. Jane Goodall, talking about how she first met her in 1993 when she attended her talk in London when she was a vet student at the Royal Veterinary College, University of London. And talking more about Dr. Jane Goodall really having such an impact on environmental protections, her research helped lead to the designation of Tanzania's Gombe National Park. Is that right?
Yes, it did. Her research, her groundbreaking research, made the Tanzanian government realize that they needed to protect Gombe National, Gombe Stream Research Center, where she was based, Gombe Forest, and it became a national park, which is amazing. In a place where there's such high human population growth and, you know, there's so much need for land, but she managed to do that. And then she set up programs, a program called Takare, where she made sure that the local communities' well-being is improved, their health and well-being is improved using an integrated approach to population health and environment. And this made the people coexist and, you know, be accept the fact that it should be a protected area, because when it's protected and the chimps are doing well, everybody would do well as well. So she did. It was incredible that she managed to get that done in a country like that.
Can you also talk about how she really affected people's opinions and perceptions of animals? You talked earlier about how she gave animals names rather than numbers. She named a male chimp with silver facial hair David Graybird, and at this time, it had never happened before. She broke with scientific convention in the early 1960s. So can you talk about how this really shaped people's perceptions of animals and what they're capable of?
Yes, it really, I mean, she broke people's perceptions. And because when she spent so much time with the chimpanzees in Gombe, she realized that they were actually, you know, they had personalities, you know, they all had different personalities and they had close family groups. And she just got to know them. She got to know them individually. And she wrote about it to the popular, you know, to the general public, not just within the science field. And all of this made people start changing and realizing, actually, animals are just like us. They get angry, they get excited, they have joy, they get frustrated. And we can't, you know, we have to treat them well. We can't just assume that they don't have feelings. And that's really changed the way people see things. And so now in scientific research, we all name the animals. You know, like the first gorilla I saw was called Cachipira because he had a broken hand. And by naming them and knowing all their families, it's easier to understand their behavior and understand what you can do to improve their lives. So that was a really big breakthrough in science, that she got to name the animals. And in the end, the Cambridge University accepted it. She did her PhD, and this is now the new norm. Everybody names their animals that they're studying.
It's also so important to highlight the fact that it takes time to do this research. I remember watching a documentary about Dr. Jane Goodall when she was young doing this research with chimpanzees. And you have to be so patient and watch their every move and be so meticulous with your notes. It's easy to forget that it takes time to really do this kind of research.
It really takes time. She spent, you know, 15 years in the forest following these animals, building a research team. It really takes time. And she has, Gombe Stream Research Center has been going for over 60 years. And so it really takes time. And over that, because of that, the grandmothers, the grandchildren, you know, all the different generations of chimpanzees, there's been enough time to start to study all of that. And she now has a big team of scientists who continue this very important legacy.
And also really focusing on what we humans can learn from these incredible animals.
Definitely. I mean, there's so much we can learn from these animals. I mean, one thing I can say, the chimpanzees and the gorillas are much better than us at birth spacing. You know, they have babies with gorillas once every 4.5 years and with chimpanzees once every 5 to 6 years. Because by the time the new baby comes along, the older one is able to build their own nest and help to babysit the younger one. And it's very logical. So we actually spaced our two boys in the same way, my husband and I. you never stop learning from our great ape cousins.
Wow, that's amazing. Dr. Gladys, can you tell us more about the effect that Jane Goodall has had in encouraging young people to really follow their dreams and to change their communities for the better? especially when it comes to saving the planet.
Yes, I would say that Dr. Jane Goodall has done so much in that area, on top of writing books. In fact, her last book, The Hope, it was really incredible. I remember when I asked her to write a foreword for my book, she said, oh, I hope I'm not delaying you because I'm promoting my new book. But she actually sent the foreword before I'd even finished my book. And she, you know, she read enough of it to know what to put in, and she just sent me the foreword, which was incredible. I think I would say that she has inspired so many people. When she speaks, she's always giving very important messages. I think she became a messenger, as she said. She became a messenger of hope. Very important messages that resonate with young people, older people, politicians. She really was able to find the right messages for the different groups. But when she'd be with the children, she'd get together with them, you know, hang out with them, and they just loved being with her. She was very kind, very motherly, you know, very nurturing person. And she really got the young people excited. She got them to lead projects. That's when Root and Shoots came around. With Roots and Shoots, they had to lead projects amongst themselves, whatever they thought they wanted to do, but it had to be able to help animals, people, and the environment. And it's really got young people excited about seeing that they can make a difference. You're never too young to make a difference, and anybody can make a difference for our planet.
And I imagine that you're working with so many of these young people now, today in Uganda.
Yes, we are. We're working with so many young people. We're working with several schools around Weed Impenetrable National Park, teaching them STEAM, which is STEM with art. And they are using, getting their own projects like recycling, or, you know, they're rearing chickens so that their parents don't have to enter the forest to poach. And it's actually very exciting. And we're also, I'm on the board of the Wildlife Clubs of Uganda, which nurtured me as a young child. And through the Wildlife Clubs of Uganda, it's 50 years old this year. It's one of the longest standing, you know, NGOs in Uganda, local NGOs. We are able to get millions of children all over the country in the different schools to have wildlife clubs and to participate in the wildlife clubs. And so, yeah, this is very exciting for me as well. We're nurturing the next generation of conservationists and people who want to protect the planet.
And we read on the Jane Goodall site that in 2023, the Jane Goodall Institute in Uganda was instrumental in uniting a coalition of conservation organizations and government ministries to adopt the National Chimpanzee Conservation Strategy.
Yes, I was invited to that momentous event. It was held at the State House and organized by Diana Museveni, the daughter of President Museveni. And that was really, really nice. That was incredible. So now there's been a huge fundraising effort for that, and ambassadors were involved and everybody was involved. It was very special. I also wanted to add, my son was very inspired by me and Dr. Jane Goodall, so he gave her a copy of his book Zookeeper for a week. He did that experience when he was 13 and wrote the book when he was 16, and it won an award in America, a Moonbeam Children's Book Award.
Wow. So when congratulations. Well, she Dr. said, Gladys, it's really been such a treat to have you on the show to remember Dr. Goodall, and we would love to have you back for a longer conversation about your work and to discuss your book, Walking with Gorillas.
Oh, thank you so much. And it's been so nice to speak. And thank you for honoring my heroine and mentor, and a heroine and mentor to so many people around the world. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Enjoy your time in the Bay Area, and we will reach out to have you back. Thank you so much for your work, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for all the great support, and hope you get to visit the gorillas and the chimpanzees in the wild.
Oh, I would dream about that. I would love that. Thank you so much. Dr. Gladys Kalama Zikusoku is Uganda's first wildlife veterinarian and founder and executive director of conservation through public health. She devoted her life to protecting endangered mountain gorillas and other wildlife, and she has written about her remarkable journey in her book, Walking with Gorillas, The Journey of an African Wildlife Vet. The foreword is by the late Dr. Jane Goodall. And we want to play one more clip. Dr. Jane Goodall was on Climate One talking about when and why she stopped eating animals.
I think from about the late 60s, I stopped eating meat. Now, I stopped eating meat because I learned about the intensive animal agriculture and these terrible factory farms. And next time I looked at meat on my plate, I thought, this symbolizes fear, pain, and death. So I stopped eating it. But then I began to realize a lot more that as nations around the world become wealthier, they eat more and more meat. It becomes a status symbol. And so what's happening is these billions of animals in these awful conditions, they have to be fed. Rainforests are being cut down to provide the grain. Huge amounts of fossil fuel are burned, getting the grain to the animals to the abattoir, the meat to the table. Huge amounts of water are being wasted to change vegetable protein to animal protein. I've been in many parts of the world where the grazing of cattle moving deeper and deeper and deeper into the forest change it to woodland and eventually into some kind of inhospitable habitat which won't support life. And then, you know, if people don't care about animal welfare, okay, they don't care about the environment, okay, probably care about their own health. And I happened to be in the UK when the Surgeon General made this chilling announcement that the era of the antibiotics is nearly over and a main contribution is the misuse of antibiotics keeping these animals alive.
Thanks to Climate One for that clip. And you can find links to the stories that we discussed today about Dr. Jane Goodall and also Dr. Gladys's book at KALW.org. Click News and then Your Call. Coming up after a break, we will talk about the Trump administration's war on wind and renewable energy. This is Your Call. We'll be back after this.